You are listening to The Vitals, a bi-monthly podcast for all things oncology nursing. For even more content, check out oncologynursingnews.com or find Oncology Nursing News on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn. Hi, everyone. This is Lindsay Fisher, Associate Editor at Oncology Nursing News. For this episode of The Vitals, we spoke with Heather Jackson, who's the Administrative Director of Advanced Practice at Vanderbilt Ingram Cancer Center. She discusses how complementary acupuncture helped one thyroid cancer survivor achieve his goal of stopping opioid use to manage his cancer-related pain. Throughout the discussion, she highlights common questions patients have about acupuncture, what different forms of treatment are available, and how providers can assess the efficacy of the integrative therapy.
Hey, Lindsay.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm Heather Jackson. I'm the Administrative Director of Advanced Practice for the Vanderbilt Ingram Cancer Center at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. And my clinical specialty is pain. So I have a background in chronic pain, interventional pain, and then I've moved into cancer pain as I took on my leadership role in the cancer center. And then I do my research in acupressure, acupuncture, and then alternative medicines that can help with either alleviating chronic pain, acute pain, or even coming off of opioids, looking at other alternatives.
Well, very interesting. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And so let's talk about this case study today.
Sure.
Can you discuss this patient's diagnosis and symptoms? What treatment were they receiving and why had this treatment been chosen for them? And what symptoms was she experiencing as a consequence of treatment?
Absolutely. So I had a wonderful case study that came to my clinic, 49-year-old male. He had a history of thyroid cancer and he did not have current active disease. So he had completed his treatment. He'd had surgery and he was still having a lot of facial pain, left cheek, neck, and TMJ pain. So he'd been taking oxycodone, 15 milligrams, four times a day. And he came to me and said, I'm a father, I'm a husband, and it's really sedating for me. I can't sit down at meals. I can't enjoy social activities. Anything I do is uncomfortable. And then I don't have he didn't have his full energy level. So we said, okay, what could we do to try to look at his medicines, get him off of the oxycodone, but still obviously functioning and interacting with his family. And so I said, well, how about acupuncture? And he was really interested in it. So he'd had to do some research, and I usually have to do a little bit of a buy-in when I'm talking to patients about this, like, how's this going to help me kind of deal. And I looked at his medicine regimen and I said, well, it's not the cure-all, but I think it could be a piece of the pie. When we think about treating pain, I always say, and this comes into psychology as well, when you're teaching a patient, if you can give imagery and analogy, that if you're going to treat the whole person, you have to think about all the different aspects of the person. So I said, this could be one piece of the pie. And then we could look at some other alternative medicines while we're doing the acupuncture. So that's what brought us to this conversation.
Yeah. And that's really interesting what you were saying with the treating the whole person and the ways to look at it. And could you talk a little bit about what that conversation looked like when you first mentioned acupuncture? What questions did he have? Research did he want to do on his own? And what were you able to tell him about it with your experience?
Yeah. So it's very common where patients will say, I don't understand, you know, why are we doing this now? So I will revert them. Honestly, I'll sit down with a patient and I'll look at Google. And I do have my own research, but I have research that I view from around the world as well. This isn't just something Heather Jackson came up with. I got the idea from the evidence. So I go over the evidence with them and then I build their confidence by saying, I've actually done research in this. And it's safe enough that I've done stickers on babies all the way to needles in adults' ears. And I've had success in getting patients off of opioids and even reducing anxiety and depression as we were looking at this comprehensive view. So he and I actually looked through Google and I said, here's some PubMed articles, you know, feel free to look through them, read up on it, bring whatever you want back. And so that's actually what he did. He was a very educated, motivated patient. And he came back to me in clinic and he said, you know, I did look through this and there actually is some justification to what you're talking about, Heather. And he said, let's try it. I mean, what do I have to lose, right?
Right. Very interesting. I love that you sat down and we're looking at those together. I think that's really awesome. And so can you talk a little bit about what did acupuncture treatment look like for this patient? And for someone who's unfamiliar, Could you describe in detail what this intervention is like? How often this patient come in? How long was treatment? What did you talk about during follow-up visits?
Yeah, that's a great point, Lindsay. So the acupuncture that we do in our clinic is a modified acupuncture technique. So it's not full body. It's limited to the ear. So they call it auricular acupuncture. And it's a protocol that I use called the battlefield protocol, or I use the NADA protocol. So battlefield protocol was actually developed by the Air Force, by a physician that was in the Air Force for pilots that couldn't be on opioids for long term. So they couldn't be on sedating medicines and that sort of thing. So they came up with this protocol. And it's called the Battlefield Pain Protocol, and it's just for pain treatment. And they actually have studs that you can put in the ear and leave them in the ear, and they'll stay in the ear for like up to 5 to 7 days. So I have that protocol. And then I also have the NADA protocol, which was developed for patients that were in detox programs. So they're trying to do like a methadone clinic or buprenorphine, and they're trying to treat opioid use disorder. And they've seen that it actually helps with any physiological symptoms, as well as the psychological impact of being a dependent or having a use disorder. Sort of talked to him about both options. The pain was obviously the issue here. So I went to the battlefield protocol, and I said, you know, we don't have to be so aggressive that I put studs, the needles in your ears that you walk around with. I could put some milder needles in your ear on the points. You can rest for 20 to 30 minutes. And I usually turn the lights down in the exam room, and I have a sound maker just to sort of try to help them relax. And I step out of the room, let them relax with the needles in their ear. And then I come back and take the needles out. And then I offer acupressure stickers that are just like a little Band-Aid that I can put on a couple of little spots. That way they can go home and they can be pressing on the area and give a little bit more stimulation. And then I'll tell the patient, you can come back anytime you want. There's no adverse, you know, risks here, except maybe a little bruising and bleeding, which is quickly resolved. The needles are so small that they're smaller than a needle you would even thread with. And then I will let them sort of direct. Do you want to come back in 2 weeks? Do you want to come back in 4 weeks? I recommend a few sessions. That way that it can sort of build on top of each other. It doesn't work for everyone, but if it does work for you, you'll notice different things. Every patient is sort of different. So some patients will say, well, Heather, I didn't get, you know, 100% pain relief, which would be, you know, pretty unattainable goal. But I did notice that I didn't have to take my medicine 3 times a day. I just took it 2 times a day. Or usually I can't sleep more than 6 hours. I slept 8 hours. Or I can only walk in, you know, a mall for an hour and a half, and then I start getting all this pain. But I noticed after your treatments, I'm able to walk for 2 hours. So those are the things I tell the patient you need to be looking for. I don't expect a cure-all. But oftentimes, right, they do complete their treatment, and they'll say, you know, procedure, I was a 8 out of 10. Now I'm a 6, or now I'm a 2. So that's the conversation that we usually have. And that's what I tell the patient to be monitoring.
Great. And for this patient, how were you and the patient measuring his pain? And then how did you measure the impact of this intervention?
Yes. So for him, we looked at medicine doses because, of course, he wanted to be off that oxycodone. And he had actually been so motivated to get off of the oxycodone that he had just quit it cold turkey. And he had some reactions.
Wow.
Because his body was used to that for so many years. So he said, I realize I need some help coming off of it. So we talked about that. I said, let's do the acupuncture, and then we'll gradually come down on the medicine. But it's going to be a timed thing. It's not going to happen overnight. We got to be patient with ourselves. You can't push yourself too hard because we also don't want the pain to flare up. So that was sort of how we walked through it. And he was amenable to that. He did feel some pain relief right after the intervention. And we ended up doing a series of 3 for the actual acupuncture. And he felt like the pain was getting under control really well. Then we were able to actually reduce and completely wean him off of the oxycodone. He was very motivated. Yeah, within 4 months. Yeah. Wow. So what I did is I asked a percentage of relief. So he reported 100% relief of his right side face pain and 50% relief on the left side of his face pain after he had completed his treatments. And so this would be reported to me in the follow-up when he came in 4 weeks later. And then he said he was able to eat. And that he really was, it was a really big point that he shared with me that I just loved. He said, Heather, I can eat with my family. Now I can go out to eat. Yeah. And he had young kids. I mean, like, you know, middle school, teenage, you can imagine the quality of life that was being impacted on this. And he was just so thrilled to be able to say, now I can eat with my family.
Yeah, that's great. So he came in for 3 sessions across 4 months. Those sessions were 4 months.
Yep.
And by 4 months, he was off the oxycodone.
That's right. Awesome. Yeah. Yep. Very motivated patient. And he was able to get through that period pretty quickly.
Wonderful. And so back to the acupuncture, you mentioned there's not really many adverse events associated with that. Is there really any sort of monitoring or questions that you need to be asking patients about when they're undergoing this?
Yeah, you do have concerns, like say the patient has hemophilia. Some patients, very rare occasions, if you have a patient with a pain condition, sometimes stimulation with a needle or like procedures are not a good idea. It just depends on what type of pain a person has. So if a person has a like central sensitization is what they call it, where there's like pain everywhere, pain in the body. And sometimes an event like a needle or say you're going to do a procedure on someone will actually trigger more pain. So that's something to be cautious with, where like we were talking about, you sort of have to have an interview with the patient. You have to get like a gut feeling for the patient and know if this is going to be a good fit or not. Usually the patients that are very motivated that say, you know, I've tried chiropractic or I've tried massage or, you know, they're open to other options. That's usually a good indicator that this is probably going to be a successful treatment. But otherwise, yeah, it would just be very mild bleeding that can occur. Usually if that does occur, a cotton swab or just a tissue, hold it on there and take it off, it's fine. And I've never had any bruising. Some patients don't like the stickers that I put on for acupressure, so we just don't use them if they don't like them. But most people do like them.
Okay, interesting. And so today, how is this patient doing? Is he still on follow-up care? Is he on treatment?
Yeah, he's actually not in my clinic anymore because got him off. Yeah, we got him off of everything. And I think it was just he needed help getting through that period of getting off the medicine. And yeah, he's not even in our clinic anymore for cancer pain, but certainly he's under surveillance. And should we need to intervene in the future, we absolutely will.
Wonderful. Do you have any last things about acupuncture you would love to share with listeners, or any sort of insights or clinical pearls to sort of wrap up what you learned from this case study?
Yeah, my advice would just be to always consider it as an adjunct. I think there's a lot of miscommunication sometimes with complementary therapies, and people will assume that that's the only option. And that's not what we're saying when we say complementary. We say complementary in addition to.
Right.
So, you know, we can all work together. We can all collaborate together, just like we do multidisciplinary treatments for our patients. But this could always be an option to add to.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Vitals. Be sure to never miss a beat with Oncology Nursing News.